Unbind him and let him go. Please be seated. I saw a ghost in downtown Cleveland this week. Alex and I were at a stoplight, and we saw in the window of an office building a friendly little sheet ghost who was part of the Halloween decoration. He had just enough personality to him, so I imagined him kind of following along with us as we pulled away from the stoplight, a floating companion who didn't want to scare us so much as he just wanted to hang out with us as we went about our way. I'm sure you saw plenty of ghosts this week too, whether they were trick-or-treating in your home or they are decorations in your home or where you work. And ghosts are a part of our popular culture, whether it's Luke Skywalker talking to the ghost of Yoda, or 8-bit ghosts running down Pac-Man as he gobbles pellets. I think I just dated myself with both of those references. This year, I watched Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, which was more fun than I thought it would be. In the original, how many of you remember the original Ghostbusters, the movie? Okay, so do you remember what happened is the Ghostbusters would trap the ghosts with these plasma ray guns and then contain them in these containment boxes, right? Yay, the ghosts are gone. They were bothering us. We don't have to think about it anymore. But in the new movie, because this is 2024, they raise the ethical questions of that. I mean, they don't go too far with that. It's a big Hollywood movie. But they do kind of ask, wait a minute, if these ghosts were actually people, maybe it's not such a good thing that we are trapping them indefinitely in a box that we keep in the basement. Don't overthink it. In the English-speaking world, ghosts are manifestations of the spirit of the dead and likely emerge from pre-Christian practices of animism and ancestor worship. But if all they do now is show up in movies and on holidays, does that mean that our connection to the spirits of the dead in Western culture have faded away or have become severed somehow? Maybe not. As Christians, we are bound together in one mystical body with those who have died. We believe in the communion of saints. We believe in the communion of saints. It is right there in our core teaching, along with the resurrection of Jesus and the Trinitarian nature of God and the forgiveness of sins. And it wasn't until I had been a priest for nearly 10 years that it finally hit me how much this matters. It was a season, a month, where simply put, we had just had too many funerals. I see a number of clergy here, and you've all been through this. Every church goes through this every decade or so, where you just have this moment where suddenly you are doing one funeral after another. And for us, it was December 2016. We lost, in the span of weeks, a young dad, a grumpy but much loved head usher, several homebound members, and the kindest and most gracious matriarch a church could have, Anne Moag. I wish you all could meet her. And we were just in a fog. The sense of loss and pain was palpable. But so too was the sense of presence, that our life as a church had somehow grown deeper with every funeral. And when the crowds dispersed, the pews had a few more empty seats, to be sure. But we also had the sense that the choir of angels that sang alongside us had grown. We believe in the communion of saints. We are knit together, the living and the dead, in the mystical body of Christ. Do you see the difference here between saints and ghosts? A ghost is a spirit. By the way, everything I know about ghosts I learned from movies, so bear with it. But a ghost is a spirit who can't seem to find their way out of this world, who seems to have some kind of unfinished business, who is somehow incomplete. Instead of ghosts, we believe in the communion of saints, in the living presence of those who have gone before us, and in the sainthood that resides within each one of us. Ghosts float out in the ether, untethered and ungrounded. Saints, by virtue of being members of the body of Christ, they are saints by virtue of being members of the body of Christ. They are profoundly grounded. They are a part of something that is real and something that is holy. I have never talked to a ghost, but I have talked to my sister, and I know that she has my back. I have talked to my grandparents from time to time. I have felt the presence of deeply faithful people long after I have attended or presided at their funerals. I have felt their presence when I simply remember how they shared their hearts with me, how they taught me the faith, how they opened my heart to the wonder and presence of God. And the saints that really capture my attention are the ones who crack open the world to show the loving presence of God. Many of those saints have died and left us a wonderful legacy of faith. But some of them are alive today, you know, at Lanes and at Tea and all the places where we see them, living out of compassion and self-giving and already showing signs of transfiguration. Now, we are all saints by virtue of our baptism, which is encouraging, but it also kind of takes the shine off of sainthood, just a little bit. Because, and I'm just going to say it, sometimes baptized Christians can be jerks. Right? I mean, it's because any human being can be. Oh, wait, how about this? Sometimes we are more self-centered than transformed. Does that sound nicer? Was that better? Okay, let's go with that. I have a hard time thinking of myself as a saint because, in part, because despite how perhaps it looks like I have my act together, oftentimes I don't feel like I have it all figured out because, as a matter of fact, I don't. And I love to be around those who, if they don't necessarily have it figured out, are clearly telling a story of the presence of God through their being in a way I haven't quite figured out yet. When I go to the art museum, we all have our go-to places. My go-to places, I love to go first to the Buddhist statues, and then I go to the Christian icons. And the reason for that is because it slows my blood pressure. And I look at them, I see sainthood in the eyes of those subjects, a sense of whole-bodied peace and compassion and love, of groundedness in God, which is an essence of sainthood. But I'm not talking about perfection. As it happens, that idea of perfection is too high a bar for even the most top shelf of saints. I think that if St. Francis were here today, even he would cut someone off in traffic every once in a while. But they wouldn't know it was St. Francis. Having your act together is not a prerequisite for sainthood. It is the wider story that we tell with our lives that matters. We are clay in God's hands. And if we give ourselves over to that, we become something really beautiful. And I think of saints as being clay that while still unfinished is starting to really look like something. And as I think of all those saints that I look up to, from the saints of old to the ones that I know today, there is a common thread that emerges, and that is that those saints are unbound. It's right there in the gospel today. When Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, his friend emerges from the tomb, but he is still stuck. Resurrection is within reach, but he's still caught up in those ribbons that wrap his body. He awakens, but he's still anchored. He is still tangled. He is still bound to the things of this world. And so Jesus says, unbind him. Saints are those people who have already begun this journey of becoming unbound. They tend to have a different relationship with life and death because many of them have already seen death and no longer quite fear it in the same way. They seem to have already begun their transformation from clay to spirit, even while remaining firmly rooted in the soil that holds them. And somehow, that makes them even more alive. It makes their eyes more loving. It makes their hearts more compassionate. Saints blur the lines between heaven and earth. They soften those harsh edges and awaken us not only to the presence of God, but to the beauty of life itself. And on All Saints, we step into that fog and we gather with joy and in tears with the saints who are still around the table with us. They are praying for us. They are singing with us because death is not final and life is not finite. Now, we believe that the saints intercede for us, that they pray for us. And I cannot presume to know what those intercessions are, what it is that they're saying. But just as I believe in the communion of saints, I know that their prayer for us includes a profound desire that we will each become unbound. That as clay, we will let go of our grip on this world and let go of its grip on us, so that God can truly mold us into vessels of gratitude and grace. We believe in the communion of saints. We pray for the dead, and we sometimes even talk to them. And those who have gone before us intercede to God for us, because we are a part of a body that is not framed in by life and by birth and death, but is unbound and woven lovingly, faithfully, beautifully into the fabric of heaven. We are, and I'm including the living and the dead in this, we are holy ghosts. We are not mortals clinging desperately to the fading things of this world, nor are we numinous spirits back to finish one last job. We are saints because we are unbound, untethered from the world, yet firmly rooted in creation and lovingly held in the hearts of those who have gone before us. We are holy ghosts, abiding in one another, abiding in God. Amen.